out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, the 17th of May, 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. And once again, we've reached the end of another week, and it's Friday, so that means we must have Grandpa Lampshade with us today. Grandpa, how are you doing? What's the weather like over there? It's tipping with rain here in Wales. I bet you've got lovely sunshine where you are, haven't you?
Lovely sunshine, but we're supposed to have thunderstorms tomorrow. And when we have thunderstorms here, you never know what you're going to get. You may get pummeled by hail. You may get blown away by a tornado, or it may just sprinkle. It's just you usually get one of the extremes. So that's just how it is here. That's right. Friday, Longshanks and Lampshade, or it's come to be known as a Clown World in Review, it seems like here lately.
Yeah. Well, I've got a little clown noise here. Doesn't work very well, does it? That cheap, shoddy Amazon clown horn that I bought the other day. But anyway, yes, we're going to be taking another visit to Clown World today. And we've got one subject that we're going to be getting into, but it's really three news stories here. And it really concerns Britain, which I'm quite shocked to actually hear this, but Britain is using facial recognition camera technology. Police fined a pedestrian £90 for disorderly behaviour after he tried to cover his face when he saw a controversial facial recognition camera on a street in London. Officers set up the camera on a van in Romford, East London, which then cross-checked photos of faces of passers-by against a database of wanted criminals. But one man was unimpressed about being filmed and covered his face with his hat and jacket before being stopped by officers who took his picture anyway. After being pulled aside, the man told police, "If I want to cover me face, I'll cover me face. Don't push me over when I'm walking down the street." It comes just weeks after it was claimed the new technology incorrectly identified members of the public in 96% of matches made between 2016 and 2018. It was first deployed by South Wales Police ahead of the Champions League final in Cardiff in 2007, but wrongly matched more than 2,000 people to possible criminals. Police and security services worldwide are keen to use facial recognition technology to bolster their efforts to fight crime and identify suspects, but they have been hampered by the unreliability of the software, with some trials failing to correctly identify a single person. So it's wrong 96% of the time, but they're still going to use it anyway just to record everybody who walks down the street in London, and they're going to fine people that really don't want to have their picture taken. I think this goes against human rights here, because unless you've actually been found guilty of a crime, they're not allowed to take your personal information, because otherwise it's a fishing expedition. Otherwise, it just means they can go after anybody they like, pick on anybody they like without any reasonable evidence beforehand. So the fact this guy's actually been fined £90 for disorderly behaviour for not wanting to appear on this, that is shocking enough. But the fact that it doesn't even work and they're still using it, I mean, that's just unbelievable. You were actually the one that came across this, Grandpa, and I saw it on the television last week, and I was pretty shocked by it. And we'll get into some more reasons later on, the reasons for why this software doesn't actually work. But what do you think about this, fining people for not wanting to have their details taken by the police?
Let me stop for a minute and channel my normicon gab boomer. Well, if you don't have anything to hide, what's the problem? I'm not a criminal. So why should I have a problem with it? My police. It's ridiculous. And let's ask a question here. This guy gets stopped on the street because, you know, he sees this thing. He's like, I don't want him taking my picture. I mean, obviously they didn't throw him in jail, so he wasn't a wanted criminal. It's not like he was covering his face up because he had just committed a crime and didn't want to be matched in their database. He just didn't like the idea of them snooping on them. But here's a question for you to ponder. So in London, for instance, I mean, you have all of these Muslims and all of their women walk around with their faces and heads covered. What are the odds of the police stopping them and telling them you've got to take your hijab off, you got to take your burqa off? We know what the answer is. Of course, the odds are zero. But the white guy, the native British person walking down the street, how dare you cover your face? We're taking your deal off here, sir, scarf off, so that we can get a good look at you, because you look kind of suspicious. It's just it's just more ridiculous. And we don't have that here, by the way. The closest thing we've got that for the most part here is they have these cameras they set up at the traffic lights, the red light cameras. And if you go through, when the light turns red, it snaps all these pictures and takes pictures of you going through the intersection, and they mail you a ticket. And this is all handled not by the government, but by a private company. And they mail you a ticket, and you almost have like zero recourse to fight the ticket. I mean, it's like, well, I wasn't even driving the car. Why am I getting the ticket? And they're actually, interesting enough, trying to pass a law here in Texas outlawing those things, which is kind of interesting. But on the other side of the extreme, in places such as Korea, they have these cameras for this facial recognition, all this. They have them everywhere. I mean, you can't go anywhere in that country and basically not be caught up on a camera somewhere. So yeah, it is interesting. It's interesting that 96% of the time that it doesn't even work, but they're going to press forward with it anyway.
Well, this is the point, isn't it? You know, they say, well, oh, if you've got nothing to hide, then what have you got to fear? Well, what you've got to fear is the fact that 2,000 people were misidentified as criminals during the first trial run with it. So if it can take your picture, and unlike DNA, which is unique, it could take your picture and then it can say, well, you are this wanted criminal. And then the police will assume you are this wanted criminal. That's the worry with it. And of course, you're quite right there. It will go against a Muslim's human rights to ask them to remove their burqa or remove their hijab, just as we see at the airports. They never get asked to derobe so that they can be checked, because it goes against their human rights. So already this is just being used against white people. And then we find out that the software itself is biased against white people. I mean, I'm very surprised actually that they're able to tell any of these Koreans apart with this software, because apparently they can't tell. It doesn't actually work on anyone unless they're actually white. And this comes from another news report which shows that this software is just racist against white people. A decade ago, Desi Crier uploaded a video to YouTube in which he showed that Hewlett-Packard's new face tracking web camera did not appear to see black people. The camera failed to track Mr. Crier, who is black, but had no problem following his white colleague, Wanda Zaman, when she entered its field of vision. At the time, Mr. Crier said he found the situation amusing, but it portended the more serious potential of bias to be baked into facial recognition and artificial intelligence systems. Well, it's not bias, it's the fact that the face is black. You can't see any details if you're looking at something that's black, particularly if you're looking at it through a camera. Now, when they have these Negroes on the television and in Hollywood and in the movies, they have 1,000-watt, 10,000-watt, 100,000-watt spotlights blasting into their faces, and that's the only way that you can actually see them. If you remember back to the 70s and the 80s, whenever they showed photographs of Negroes in newspapers, you couldn't make out what they were. It was just a black blob, and that's all the camera sees. And this is why the camera totally failed to even notice that there was a person there when it was recording this. And this has just got worse and worse since then. Do you want to comment on this first instance of this, this Hewlett-Packard instance of this, Grandpa, before we move on to the next one?
It's just that, like you say, I mean, they talk about potential bias in it. Of course, the way they're coming at it is it's somehow unfair. if the facial recognition software doesn't recognize blacks, it somehow that's being mean to blacks. And it's actually, as you're pointing out here, it's the opposite. If they're using, especially if they're using this trying to pinpoint people for crimes, it's like only the white people are even going to get singled out or recognized. The blacks are going to get a free pass here. Yet the narrative they're trying to promote is that somehow this is being unfair to black people. Actually, the black people are coming out on top of this deal.
How can they say it's bias as well? I mean, this is objective software. This is technology. It doesn't have a bias built into it. It's just the way that it works. It's objective. In 2015, Google apologized after its then new Photos application labeled some black people as gorillas. The company said in a statement that it was appalled and genuinely sorry, but it was just one of many examples of facial recognition technology's racial failings. Brooklyn programmer Jackie Alsine tweeted a screenshot of photos he had uploaded in which the app had labeled Alsine and a friend, both African American, gorillas. Yontan Zunga, an engineer and the company's chief architect of Google+, responded swiftly to Alsine on Twitter. "This is 100% not okay," and he promised that Google's Photos team was working on a fix. The first fix was not effective, so Google ultimately decided not to give any photos a gorilla tag. And Zunga said that Gorilla is working on longer-term fixes, including better recognition of dark-skinned faces. And I'll actually just stop there, because this is their solution to the problem. Okay, well, we'll just remove the tag for Gorilla. So when blacks go to their photos, it just doesn't give them a tag at all. It doesn't identify them. And this is what's happened with it. They can't actually pick up Negroes in it, so they just won't pick them up at all.
Well, yeah, and they also just on top of that, I mean, now if you do in Google Images and you Google what, married white couple, what do you get? Like 2/3 of the photos are white woman, black male, or white man in a suit, but yet it's not white man in a suit. It's like half of the pictures at least are blacks. I mean, it's just like they've gone to this opposite thing. And the language these people use, this is 100% not okay. I mean, what are we, as a second grade teacher? This is not okay. This is not okay. It's a funny thing to observe, because the whole thing comes down to, and as we continue to go through this, it all comes down to the lie, and the lie that they have promoted. You know, because we're not coming off here like, we're making fun of blacks and calling them gorillas. That's not the point at all. The point is, or at least to me, the point is that the lie they promote in society is that there's no differences between the races. In fact, they say that race doesn't even exist. Race doesn't exist. It's a social construct. And it's, of course, a lie. And you can enforce the lie to an extent on the people through intimidation, social pressure, and out and out, honestly, threats at some points in our society. But that doesn't work with technology. I mean, the difference is, if this was 50 years ago, they could just enforce this on the people. And if you say anything about it, we'll ruin your lives, which they still do that now. But now we live in this age of technology, with computers advancing, artificial intelligence. Now they're using these things like facial recognition software. And this technology isn't intimidated. It doesn't give a shit. I mean, you can't intimidate the technology into agreeing with your falsehood that race doesn't exist, that there's no differences between the races. The technology is like, It looks at reality. It deals with facts. It's not intimidated. It doesn't respond to social pressures. It doesn't care that Mr. Gupta or whatever the hell his name is says this is 100% not okay. The technology is like completely ambivalent about it. It doesn't care. It's going to do what it does. And it's just points out the fact that race does exist, and there are differences. There are fundamental differences between the races, and the technology is not going to be pressured into going along with the lie. So again, as you've pointed out, what do? Their answer is they just shut down the technology. There, that we fixed that.
Yeah, they just removed the tag for gorillas, because it's not a bias that's been built into this. It obviously, they do look like gorillas to some extent. because the software said they look like gorillas. It's not somebody that's put that in there. It's that the software has measured the features of the face, not the color or anything like that, but the features of the face. That's what it does. It measures the distance between the eyes. It measures the nose. And they were unable to find a way of getting it to say anything else, because I guess the other problem would have been that if it had been facial recognition software of gorillas and they had put a tag in there for black people, it would have started tagging gorillas as black people. So they had to remove that completely. Flickr also rolled out new technology in 2015 to help tag photos, and it identified a black man with a white woman as apes on two occasions. More diversity in Silicon Valley was prescribed as the solution to completely objective software identifying blacks as gorillas and apes. Perhaps if the titans of Silicon Valley hired more engineers of color, things like this wouldn't happen so often, writes Charles Pulliam Moore, a reporter for the media outlet Fusion, or you know, ever. And this is their solution to all of these problems. We just need to have more blacks in there. If there were more blacks that were working on the apps and the software, things like this just wouldn't happen. And that's just nonsense, because these things are objective software. They are measuring what can objectively be measured, and then they're coming out with what the computer tells them it is. It's like this other AI. Do you remember the AI? The name of her has just gone out of my mind, but she actually had a female neck tie. That was it. And she was supposed to be artificially learning artificial intelligence from tweets and Facebook and everything like that. And within an hour, she had gone full Nazi. And so again, that one had to go out the window. You must remember that one, Grandpa.
Well, yeah. And like you say, the answer is we need to hire more persons of color. So you have the situation where the technology, the software, isn't intimidated by social pressure. It just points to reality when we're constantly fed a lie. So the answer is we need to hire more people of color, because what they're trying to do with that is they're trying to say, well, the reason this is happening isn't that what we're saying is a bunch of bullshit. No, the answer is because you're supposed to be left with the impression that there's all these racist white people working at places like Google, which we know is like a hotbed of white supremacism or something. And they're all sitting here at Microsoft and all these at Instagram, all these places, these evil white supremacists are working there. And, you know, let's rig up this AI system where it'll call blacks gorillas. That'll get them. You don't know. Yeah. So all it is the technology, again, will not play along with the lie. And when the technology highlights the fact that what they promote in this is nothing but a lie, that there are no racial differences, race is a social construct, race doesn't exist, the technology shines the spotlight on this lie. So they have to create a new lie. And the lie is that the problem is there's too many white people there, and they're sitting there purposely rigging the technology to where it'll think blacks are gorillas when it's doing this recognition software. What, can you imagine what would happen if you were to Google Abos? I mean, the poor software wouldn't have a chance.
Probably come up with orangutans for that. Last year, the Times reported on the findings of a Massachusetts Institute of Technology researcher who found that some facial recognition software could identify a white man with near perfect precision, but failed spectacularly at even identifying the gender of a darker skinned woman. And of course, this is just for practical reasons. If you've got something that's dark skinned, that's black, you're really not going to be able to pick out many of those features with a camera. We have difficulties telling them apart as it is. We say, you know, they all look very similar to one another. And this artificial technology, this facial recognition technology, is just basically proving that. But while it's proving that, it is also being biased against whites. They say the problem in part is that facial recognition is only as good as the examples on which it is trained, and one widely used data set was estimated to be more than 75% male and more than 80% white. And why is that? It's because it will only work on white people. That's the reason for that. They can't get it to work on blacks. So this, if they roll this out, it's just going to end up zooming in on white people and ending up getting white people arrested. Blacks aren't even going to be picked up with the software. It's not even going to recognize them. As it said, it didn't even register that there was a person with this, with the first prototype of this technology. And yet they're still going to complain that it's biased when it's actually biased against men. I mean, what do you think of this? It can't even tell the difference between male and female when you're talking about blacks here, Grandpa.
Oh, no, no. But see, this gets even better. It gets even better because, again, the lie that we live in here in clown world, it's so ever expanding. Now, consider this, Van. What about the software misidentifying gender? Because, I mean, now we have to, you know, gender is also made up and you can be whatever gender you identify. So what are we going to do when the software looks at even a white person who identifies as female, but is actually, you know, a trans person, and this software recognizes them as male? What do we do then? Because, I mean, that's not allowed either. That is 100% not okay that our software is identifying. Where's your cheap Amazon horn, Sven? Yeah, there we go. Yeah, it's 100% not okay that the software is identifying this trans person as male when they are female and we have to call them she.
Now, what's it going to do when it starts dead naming people as well as the misidentifying people? You're going to end up with the software being taken to court, and it's the software itself that becomes a thought criminal, that becomes politically incorrect. A study this year raised concerns about Recognition, a facial recognition system that Amazon had aggressively marketed in recent years to local and federal law enforcement. In the study, the MIT Media Lab found that the system misclassified women as men 19% of the time and mistook darker-skinned women for men 31% of the time. Not only do I want to see them address our concerns with the sense of urgency it deserves, Representative Jimmy Gomez, a California Democrat who has investigated Amazon's facial recognition practices, told The Times, but I also want to know if law enforcement is using it in ways that violate civil liberties and what, if any, protections Amazon has built into the technology to protect the rights of our constituents. And I think part of the problem with this is testosterone. Testosterone causes you to have a wider chin. So these negresses, they actually have higher testosterone than white people do. So the shape of their chin is going to be different. And I think that may be why it's identifying them as men. But of course, when you then start to get these transgenders in there, I mean, they're not going to be able to change the shape of their bone structure. Of course, it's going to be misidentifying them. Of course, there's going to be violations of civil liberties, as Jimmy Gomez is so worried about here. For years, privacy advocates have warned that governments could use such software for nefarious purposes. Last month, The Times reported that China was the first known government that used it for racial profiling, according to experts. The country has been using a wide-ranging secret facial recognition system to track and control the Uyghurs, a largely Muslim minority, The Times reported. The advanced system is integrated into China's growing network of surveillance cameras and is constantly tracking where Uyghurs come and go. If you make a technology that can classify people by an ethnicity, someone will use it to repress that ethnicity, Claire Garvey, an associate at the Center on Privacy and Technology at Georgetown Law, said at The Time. Well, there's the proof of it. There is the proof that race is not a social construct, and this objective technology is now being used in China to tell these brown-skinned people apart from the yellow-skinned people, so that they can then follow them about because they know they're going to be committing more crimes than the Chinese. And yet where we're using it in America and in Britain, it's just being trained on the white people. I'm very surprised that it's even actually able to tell the Chinese apart from one another, but that's not what they're using it for. They're using it to tell the brown-skinned people apart from the yellow-skinned people here. So this is proof of everything that we say about race being biological, isn't it, really?
Somebody hasn't told the Chinese that this is 100% not okay. not okay, China. This is not okay.
They need more Uyghurs on the designing team, don't they? That's what it is. They need more Muslim Uyghurs on the Chinese designing team.
And I'm sure China will get right on that because they are obviously really worried about this not being a, not being 100% not okay.
Thankfully, there is, as you say, Texas is actually taking steps to try and put a stop to this. And San Francisco is leading the way. San Francisco, long at the heart of the technology revolution, took a stand against potential abuse on Tuesday by banning the use of facial recognition software by the police and other agencies. The action, which came in at 8-1 vote by the Board of Supervisors, makes San Francisco the first major American city to block a tool that many police forces are turning to in the search for both small-time criminal suspects and perpetrators of mass carnage. Similar bans are under consideration in Oakland and in Somerville, Massachusetts, outside of Boston. In Massachusetts, a bill in the state legislature would put a moratorium on facial recognition and other remote biometric surveillance systems. On Capitol Hill, a bill introduced last month would ban users of commercial face recognition technology from collecting and sharing data for identifying or tracking consumers without their consent, although it does not address the government's uses of the technology. Still, the San Francisco Police Officers Association and Officers Union said the ban would hinder their members' efforts to investigate crime. Although we understand that it's not a 100% accurate technology yet, it's still evolving, said Tony Montoya, the president of the association, I think it has been successful in at least providing leads to criminal investigators. Well, as we heard at the beginning of this podcast, it's actually only 96% accurate, so it's a bit of an overestimation there, saying, oh, it's not quite 100% accurate yet. Well, it's only 4% accurate at the moment. But at least they're trying to do something about this in San Francisco. But again, the worry is this commercial usage of it as well. And this is what they've been saying in Britain, is that, well, if the police aren't allowed to use it, we're still going to have a problem with commercial operators using it, with people like Amazon using it, people in the shops using it, in the stores using it, you know?
I think it's a real joke here that the police union's complaining that, you know, well, this just takes away a valuable tool. Get off your ass, get out from behind the desk and chase down leads. I mean, you know, we this is what the police used to do. This is what they did for years. They got out on the street. They shook people, you know, they shook down their sources for information. They chased down leads and actually investigated crimes. You know, it's like, it'd just be a travesty that you have to get out from behind your damn desk and go out and, you know, do your job. So, and it is serious. And, you know, I can't believe I'm actually agreeing with something San Francisco is doing. Yeah, what do you know? But no, it's very serious because, okay, so if you rely on this software, I mean, how much credibility do you get it? As you've already pointed out, we're seeing, 4% accuracy? Okay, well, what if it's only, let's say they improve on it. Let's say they improve on it, and now it's 50% accurate. But, so half the time, it's going to be accurate. So how much credibility do you give it? Is that enough accuracy to allow giving a search warrant? I mean, what's the threshold of accuracy to where now a judge is willing to issue a search warrant? Here recently, down in Houston, there was a story. They used a confidential informant, which wound up being like a druggie. And he basically pointed the finger at these two people, this couple, as being drug dealers. And these crooked cops went out and got a warrant and did one of these midnight, you know, 2 a.m. no-knock raids on these people who weren't, wound up not having anything to do with dealing drugs. They kick the door in. Well, these people, you know, you're at your house 2 a.m. and someone kicks your door in Houston. You assume that these are criminals. Well, they grab their guns and start shooting, and the cops shoot and kill the couple. Some cops were wounded. Oh, it was a big hubbub. And then turn to find out the informant, they did this no-knock raid just on the simple word of an informant, and these people didn't have anything to do with it. They weren't meth dealers. They weren't dealing drugs. It was all bullshit, and it ties into this because at what point do you give the facial recognition software the credibility to get a warrant? Are you going to do a no-knock raid because your facial recognition software looked at these people and said, hey, this matches our database for some known drug dealers? They aren't really known drug dealers, but hell, it's close enough. Let's do a raid and see if we find anything. So no, I mean, yeah, cops can get out from behind their damn desk and do their jobs, you know. And then amazingly, in that case in down in Houston, they're actually the cops that went and got the warrant and stuff. They're actually going to charge them with this because it wound up this wasn't the only crooked business they were involved in. Imagine that, badge lickers. My police, they're heroes, are actually doing a bunch of other crooked crap too. And since there was so much publicity around this incident, they got caught up in it. No, I don't like this at all. We're big brothered enough. They monitor enough of our stuff. We don't need to hand them more power because it observably isn't making us safer. Where's the TSA? We got the TSA after 9/11. Now you get strip searched at the airport. Has it made us any safer? No, it hasn't. It just gives them more power.
Well, I think if this had actually been successful, they would have said, well, it at least it has provided criminal prosecutions or successful cases. But they don't. They just say, oh, it has at least provided leads to criminal investigators. And it can do that even if it misidentifies somebody. It could misidentify somebody, as you say, as being a drug dealer. The police could then go and investigate the person, and they could find out that they were a recreational drug user, or they had a stolen bike on their premises, or they hadn't paid the tax on their car, or over here in Britain, they hadn't paid for their TV license or something. And then they can at least say, oh, well, at least it provided a lead to a criminal investigation that was successful. And they're not even saying that they're successful here. They're saying it's provided leads to criminal investigations. So it basically means that they could have investigated people and could have found that there was nothing wrong. But just the fact that it actually gave them a lead to doing that is somehow seen as some kind of a success. So this is great that San Francisco have said no. It's great that Texas is looking into this and said no, or thinking about saying no. But I am really surprised that they've actually wheeled it out on the streets of London and are fining people for not going through it when it's only accurate 96% of the time and he's blatantly biased against white people. Thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.